Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday, September 11th. My name is Jeff, and this is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Week two coming at us, man. Week two coming at us. Of course, go check out FTNFantasy.com. If you haven't in a while, you're missing out, man. We released a new website this year, earlier this year, and we consolidated. We used to have three websites, not really the best approach, so we consolidated them all into one. Now you get fantasy, DFS, and betting all on the same site across all the major sports that we cover. So good. It's just so stinking good. So go check that out. Use the promo code RATPACK if you'd like for 10% off on any subscription. You can also upgrade subscriptions as well. We don't charge you a gazillion dollars for DFS. That's stupid. It's a moderate upgrade fee. If you already have the Fantasy Plus subscription, upgrade. Play some DFS. A couple people won a lot of money playing DFS using our optimizer last week. There were two six-figure wins out of our subscribers, which is just bananas. Pretty awesome right there. Price of admission paying for itself, for sure, for those folks. Anyway, so today on the podcast, I wanted to quickly talk about all that went down here in terms of Miami practice reports, all of that fun stuff. I wanted to get into the Christian McCaffrey stuff as well. Wanted to get into what do you do if you have Puka Nacua. So we'll dive in there and really just set the stage for this week. So, by the way, I've changed a whole bunch of how I handle podcasts this year. You might be aware. If you're not aware, I have another podcast. It's called The Rant. I do that 4 days a week. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm here on Wednesdays through the season. And of course, you'll get a Sunday evening or early Monday morning podcast on this feed from Mike Randall breaking down everything that happened on Sunday. So you get like immediate reaction and it's not a 6 hour breakdown. You know, this isn't a Dan Carlin podcast. So anyway, instead of just regurgitating all the same content that you have on the website, the podcast is more, these are going to be more like news based, get you up to speed, give you my take on the biggest things, stuff that I don't necessarily have time to write. Of course, on Fridays or Thursdays and Fridays now, over at FTNFantasy.com. The report comes out, so it'll come out on Thursdays. It'll have the Thursday night football game. And then as I work through games, we just add them in, right? So you'll always have the Thursday night football game, plus probably a few other games on Thursdays. And then by Friday afternoon, that bad boy will be done. And it's a much lengthier breakdown than what I used to do. So yeah, people really liked it in week one, and we'll keep going from there. The waiver wire tool is up over at FTNFantasy.com as well. And so, yeah, rankings on Wednesdays. A lot of people think rankings on Wednesdays. Rankings are actually a Tuesday thing. They go live at FTNFantasy.com on Tuesdays, and then I continually update them throughout the course of the week. In fact, I think as of right now, I've already updated, I think, seven times is my rough estimate. I could be off on that one. It might be eight, actually. Why is that a big deal? Well, I'll tell you, last year, the site kind of sucked from a back-end perspective. And for me to do like a simple update, say I wanted to move a player from seven to eight at like quarterback or whatever, that would take me 15 minutes. It was ridiculous. Every update would take me 15 minutes. Now, not like every single player movement, but if I wanted to update rankings, it would take 15 minutes, even if it was a simple update. Now, if I want to move a player from 7 to 8, guess what? I can do it in like 2 seconds, and it's updated. So pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, if you want all the rankings, they are up over there. I'll handle a few of these situations, of course, because we do have some murky stuff, especially with tomorrow night. And that's what we're going to do going forward here on this podcast on Wednesdays. So let's dive into the Miami Dolphins news first and foremost. You probably have already seen this by the time you're listening to the podcast, but no Raheem Mostert for Thursday night football. He's dealing with a chest injury, already declared out. Devon Achane, meanwhile, is not out as of right now, but he is very much a game time decision. It looks like limited practice today, which is actually encouraging, but it does not mean that we're out of the woods with Achane. He may or may not play. Don't know. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. If he's out there, I have no worries about him. He'll be a top 10 option. Easy peasy. Like, I tentatively have him ranked at 9. So I could imagine he'll stay right around that range. But the moral of the story is, regardless of where he's ranked, you're going to be using him if he's out there. If he is not out there, now I haven't run these numbers just yet. I'm still awaiting a few more pieces of information before I ultimately plug everything into the projections and update rankings. But if he is not out there, Jeff Wilson Jr. and Jalen Wright will figure to have a pretty hefty workload for this squad. The Dolphins do have Denarik Prince on their practice squad. It remains to be seen if they'd actually elevate him from practice squad for this one, if obviously no Achan. So let me work through that scenario really quickly here. Who would be my preferred option? Well, unfortunately, it's probably Jeff Wilson who stands to see the most work. He does know the offense better than Jalen Wright. However, I don't want to undersell Jalen Wright's ceiling. Like, we saw it with Achan last year. Achan didn't need 35 carries to have a huge fantasy week. Heck, he could do that on half a dozen, right? And he did last season. Jalen Wright has that kind of ability. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to get out over my skis right now. But what I would do is, you know, if I'm hurting at running back, I'm not dropping a wide receiver to do this. I have to be hurting at running back, or maybe I tuck somebody on an IR spot. I want to go out and just see if Jalen Wright's out there. He may not be out there. That's fine. But if you didn't pick him up last night, just see if he's out there and add him for a ceiling. Because Jeff Wilson Jr. doesn't quite have that ceiling. And heck, he might even be a decent play this week if no Achan. But I'm really searching for ceiling early at in the season. And Jeff Wilson doesn't really offer, you know, that ceiling. So that's the main thing that I'd be looking for on that front. And I also want to touch on something I just said. I would not be dropping a wide receiver to do so. What I see a lot of fantasy managers do at this time of year is they will go out and they're going to feel like they're light at running back. Guess what? It's September. You're going to feel light at running back. Every single one of us does. But if you were somebody who drafted, let's say you have like a regular sized roster, so it's like a 16 round draft, and your composition is 7 wide receivers and 4 running backs. You drafted that way for a reason. That reason is depth at wide receiver, because if your league is anything like any other league out there, for the most part, you're starting more wideouts than you are any other position. So you need more depth at that position. And that argument of, well, you only start 3 of them, is complete, and pardon the French here, BS. It's crap. It's complete crap, because you don't just start 3 wide receivers in a fantasy season. You do not. Nobody does. You have bye weeks, you have injuries, you have fluctuation in performance. Nobody starts just 3 wide receivers. So the idea is have as much depth as possible at the position you start the most of, and then take it from there. And if you didn't go that route, and say you drafted as many or more running backs as you did wide receivers, I can guarantee you're going to be cutting loose a bunch of those running backs. So maybe it's a strategy to reconsider for next year's drafts. Depleting your wide receiver strength for running backs is typically a mistake a lot of people make at this time of year. So just something I observe. Of course, I always say this, and I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. It's your team. You run your team however the heck you want to run your team. But I'm just telling you, this is how I do things. And if you went out and you drafted those wideouts only to drop that depth after week one, that usually causes some problems for fantasy managers. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I don't have a lean one way or the other on Achan. Usually, if they get to limited on Wednesday, that's a good sign they play, but I can't say always. I can't say always, especially when you miss 2 practices to start the week out. Let's move over to Christian McCaffrey. So the latest from Adam Schefter is a quote, real chance he is going to be out for week 2. So I did, in fact, leave McCaffrey out of projections to start the week. So he's not ranked. He's not projected for me. If we get an indication he's going to play, then of course we'll change things up. But here's what we did find out. So Kyle Shanahan came out and he said that this is a similar injury to what he had experienced in the playoffs previous to the game with the Packers. He is calling it Achilles tendonitis. It's a calf / Achilles, because obviously, you know, your lower calf leads into your Achilles. Like, it's right there. The word is, if this was a playoff game, McCaffrey could play. It is not a playoff game. Last week was not. It was week 1. If there is a week to miss, it's week one. Or it could be week 18 if you already have your spot locked up for the playoffs. But if you're going to miss a week due to injury, pretty much week one is the week to miss. Week two would be the next best, and so on. So there is a good chance they continue to hold him out. Basically, the extent of things from Shanahan is that it's tendonitis that's acting up. It can come and go, and they just want to be careful here. And I think this makes a lot of sense, not only because you have the luxury of what apparently is a pretty darn good backup in Jordan Mason, but beyond that, you're in a Super Bowl window. You know, you made it to the game last year, didn't win it. You've been a perennial deep run playoff team here for really almost all of Kyle Shanahan's watch with this team. And you're not getting any younger with McCaffrey, even to a lesser extent, like Kittle, Debo. You're not getting any younger with these guys. You're in a window. Trent Williams, for example, you're in a window. It's you got to capitalize because those windows, they don't open up very often and they don't stay open for very long for NFL franchises, even if you're the best teams out there. And yeah, I know the Patriots, the Chiefs. I mean, you're going to have dynasties, but for everybody else, the windows don't stay open very long. If you are the 49ers, you need Christian McCaffrey down that stretch. Like, he's such a difference maker. So it's a no-brainer for them if he was experiencing anything last week to hold him out. It may be a no-brainer to do so again. So Jordan Mason, if you have him, he's going to be like a top six option. Currently, he's at four. I could see him moving around a little bit in that range. This is among running backs. But he's going to be a top six option. 28 carries last week. He was so effective on the ground. And that's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere as long as he's in there. So do I think this is a long-term thing with McCaffrey? No. Would I be willing to buy low on him? Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what I'm giving up. I'm not going to give up my wide receiver depth to get him, but if I could move a lesser running back, like if somebody was like, yeah, I'll do it for Pacheco, snap accept, I don't think that happens. Or heck, like if you were like selling high on Joe Mixon, cool, I'll take McCaffrey for him. But otherwise, that's about all. And I'd be holding him if I actually have him. And in fact, I do have him in a couple leagues where I picked first overall. So I'm holding on to him. No comment on the injury designation from the league. Obviously, after Jordan Mason's revelation that he knew as early as potentially Friday that he was starting. We'll see. I don't know. I think that the league really just needs to clean up that questionable designation. I know I said I was going to get to Nacua. I did want to address quickly Deshaun Watson. So another allegation came out against him. This came out the other day, 2 days ago. And the allegation it's disturbing, as you can imagine. It comes from the same time period as the rest of the allegations. Maybe the one difference is this took place on what was characterized as a date, not him hiring somebody to do a massage. It's very disturbing. You know, and read it if you want, but, and you know, whatever, you arrive at your own conclusions there, but it is out there. And there's a couple things from this. Now, obviously him and his legal team are denying the allegations and that would be expected. But first and foremost, the idea of commissioners exempt came up. So commissioners exempt, if you're not familiar with it, is sort of like, it's an extreme measure the league can take if there's any off-field incidents that are very, very severe. It is rare, but it has happened, and it is a paid leave. So if you're placed on commissioner's exempt, you still get your game checks and all of that. It has to happen. It has to be the most severe of things. The league has said the commissioner's exempt will not be used in this instance. So unless something changes, the league is reviewing everything, but they're not putting him on commissioner's exempt. The other part of this that I brought up actually yesterday on my SiriusXM show that is kind of interesting. So Watson has not played well in his time with the Browns. And that might be an understatement given what he's making. He has not played well. He has not played well since his final season with Houston. And he played very well that year. So could that change? Of course it could. This was just week one and he's had two partial seasons other than this past week. It could change. But if the Browns want an out, they really don't have they don't have an out from a financial standpoint until the final year of his deal. In theory, I mean, they'd still have to eat salary, but they could cut him loose without a cap hit. That isn't until 2026, though. 2024, 2025. Oh my God, the cap hits are insane if they parted ways. However, Pro Football Talk brought up a very interesting clause in Watson's contract. And essentially, the extent of it is, if there was any other legal issues that come up and these weren't disclosed at the time the contract was executed, the Browns have an out. Now, there's some questions as to whether or not they have the out without being hit by the salary cap. That's another thing as well. But they would potentially have an out. Does this mean the Browns are going to do that? No, it doesn't. But there's moving pieces here. Let's just put it that way. It's got to suck for Browns fans, too, by the way, to see Baker Mayfield playing well. Anyway, wanted to bring that up. Let's see. Puka Nacua, really quickly, just ripping through this here. So with Nacua out on injured reserve, the earliest he can come back is week 7. I got asked a question in the FTN Discord today. Would you trade, and I don't know who it was, like DJ Moore or something like that. Doesn't matter who the player is. Would you trade wide receiver X for Puka Nacua? And I said, well, are you comfortable having Puka Nacua eating up, even if it's an IR spot, eating an IR spot up until week 7? Because it's 4 games, not 4 weeks. And the fourth game, that technically would be week 5, but guess what? Rams have a bye in week 6. So we're at week 7. We're at basically the halfway point of the fantasy football regular season. Are you comfortable doing that? And I can't answer that question for you, right? Doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't. It's, are you comfortable? Because let me put it this way. Like, if I came on here and I was like, oh yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat, bro. And then you do it, but you're actually not comfortable doing it. You're going to be uncomfortable the whole time. And I know the uncomfortable fantasy manager. The uncomfortable fantasy manager never views the glass as half full. It is always half empty. It is always waiting for the other shoe to drop, the negative viewpoint of things. If you are uncomfortable, you're going to be looking for the negative, right? And then ultimately, I know the end result for me. I'm wrong. I get attacked. I'm the worst fantasy analyst ever. Everybody can do my job, all that crap. I've heard everything. I've heard everything. Believe me, there's no original joke about me out there. So I don't give a crap about that, by the way. What I give a crap about is you managing your squads effectively. And so if I came in, I was just like, yeah, I would do it. And then you do it and you're uncomfortable. You're not going to manage your squad effectively. So that's something you have to gauge. Like, it was the same thing when, we were in fantasy draft season and people would ask me, well, would you draft this player? And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, Brandon Ayuk or somebody, like, it doesn't matter what I would do, right? Because if Brandon Ayuk missed games in the regular season due to a contract dispute, I'm not going to freak out. I'm cool with that because I realized that was a risk coming in. Some people are not cool with that type of thing, and they freak out, lose their minds, make bad decisions, and basically play bad fantasy football as a result. What type of manager are you? I can't answer that question for you. So if you're comfortable waiting until, and I got to say this clearly, not until week 7, until at least week 7, then do something like that. Otherwise, probably not a good use of your roster, your bench, etc. Because again, you play this game uncomfortably, you're going to play bad. You're going to play poorly, straight up. All right, so with Nacua sidelined, as of right now, I have Cooper Kupp at 3. He's actually at points been at 1. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does come in at 1. It's going to be, you know, I'll obviously have everything set finalized about 30 minutes before kickoff on Thursday night for Thursday Night Football. I always do that with rankings there, and then roughly like 12:30 Eastern in the afternoon on Sundays, so that way everybody can make their start sit decisions. It wouldn't surprise me if Cooper Kupp's at 1. Like, he's going to see heavy volume here. And I was, you know, curious when this all went down. I was thinking, all right, what's the target distribution going to look like here? So I have a very conservative initial ranking for DeMarcus Robinson. Now, if you went out and picked him up, I don't think that was a bad move. Actually, I think that was a pretty solid move. You're being proactive. You're going and trying to get something done here, especially if you had Nacua to cover that up. But having said that, I don't view him as anything more than a flex option. So currently Robinson came in at 40 in my initial rankings. He's going to be in that range. I like the ceiling of him. I just don't know if the volume is quite going to be there to warrant anything better than flex consideration. If you picked up Tyler Johnson, he's not usable. Like, we just don't know what the distribution of targets is going to look like here. So Tyler Johnson came in at 56. Not usable for me. Moving over to tight end, because there is an impact here as well. Colby Parkinson could be a back end tight end one. He could. As of right now, he's a front end tight end two for me. But those guys are so tightly bunched. Like, really from like 9 down to 20, they're so tightly bunched. So if you picked up Parkinson, you know, hey, the volume was decent last week. He could be a little bit of a help for you at tight end. Not a bad thing. And as far as Kyren Williams is concerned, I have him as a top 10 guy. He's at 7 right now. I am not dropping Blake Corum just because of week one. And I think that's an important thing. We heard Sean McVay come out and he had said that wasn't the intended usage. It was more, this is what happened in the game and they went with it. They did want to get Corum involved on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, if I drafted Blake Corum, I drafted him, chances are I drafted him for one of two reasons, right? First reason would be to handcuff Kyren Williams. I don't think that has changed. Second reason would be because I don't believe in Kyren Williams, and your belief maybe didn't change there either. But I think, you know, intention is so important in fantasy football, like drafting and rostering guys for a reason. And the reason is not because they were ranked highest. That's not a reason to roster or draft somebody. But it's one of those two reasons. Either you're cuffing or you don't believe in the starter. And really, you know, at this point, none of that has changed. Unless you do now all of a sudden believe in Kyren Williams. I can't answer that for you. Yeah. So if I drafted Corum, my rationale is going to stick at least for the first couple weeks of the season, and then we'll evaluate from there. One last situation that I wanted to talk about quickly because it does have pretty significant impact on rankings for the week is the quarterback spot for the Green Bay Packers. Malik Willis will get the start. He's quarterback 26 to start the week out for me. Yeesh, not good. And also, not good, the impact that he's going to have really across the board. So Josh Jacobs plummets down in rankings. I currently have him at 22. He could move up a few spots, but I don't see him being much more than a mid-range RB2. Right now he's a back-end RB2. No thank you. Jaden Reed, who had a massive week one performance, not even really usable for me. He's down at 47. You know, Christian Watson, not usable for me. You know, Watson's game is, you know, downfield, high ceiling. We're not getting that with Malik Willis. Watson did 71. Romeo Dobbs, not usable this week. You know, the tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, not usable this week. So it's bad, but don't panic. The good news is Love didn't go to IR. He didn't go to IR. And as of right now, the team did not sign Sean Clifford to the active roster, which is a good sign. That means they'll likely elevate him this week, next week, and then we'll see what happens from there. Love could be back in, you know, in that third game there, in the week four. He could be back. It may not be the three full games that he's going to miss. We'll see. But as of right now, their plan is to go with Willis, and that is not good for fantasy purposes, with one notable exception. And that exception, of course, comes on the other side of the ball. If you did want to take advantage of this, I would not blame you whatsoever. The Indianapolis Colts are very much in play against Green Bay. Take advantage of Malik Willis. So yeah, there at least is one beneficiary. All right, so as I said, go check out the rankings over at ftnfantasy.com. Also, all the tools are up. We have, like yesterday, I put up all the shadow coverage stuff. So, dude, there was a lot of shadow coverage in week one. Wow. Wide receiver cornerback matchups, expected fantasy points, all the DVOA stuff. So much going on right now at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And if you're already a subscriber, maybe you're somebody who follows along with my stuff. You might be a Rat Packer. Who knows? We do have merch up there, including Rat Pack merch. So go check that out too. And in the meantime, then just follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. And I will be back next Wednesday on this feed, but tomorrow on The Rant. So if you want to follow along over there, just give that bad boy a subscribe. Subscribe to this, rate both podcasts, review both podcasts. And I appreciate you. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.